you remember the whole hello and welcome, my name is
I know
Cole.
The spiel, you do your thing, you introduce me, I say hey, I say I'm Ben.
No. It's the my name is Cole and my name is Ben.
Bro, I got it.
Okay. Alright, let's do it. Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Cole.
And my name is Ben.
And we are
The Stream Team.
Our goal is to help you navigate through the various streaming services out there to best make use of your binge-watching time. In today's episode, we're talking about Netflix. And you may be thinking to yourselves, what? Netflix? You guys have already talked about Netflix. Has that much really changed? Yes. The answer is yes. Netflix has had so many shows poached off of its services, as well as so many new shows created for its services or acquired, you know, like Netflix original content, as well as just stuff that Netflix has brought onto their streaming services. So we're going to be revisiting Netflix, talk about, you know, some of the stuff that's gone, what's still there, what's new, and see if it's still worth it. But at the end of the day, it's Netflix. So yes, it's still worth it. Isn't that right, Ben?
I concur. Netflix is the first streamer to really make the big time. It was the first main streamer just to, streamer. It's a success story in the video distribution era of the digital age.
And as far as we're concerned, it's still top dog, but it's not as clear anymore. Disney Plus and Amazon Prime are nipping at its heels, as well as HBO Max, Hulu, Crave, all those other ones.
And don't forget about Peacock.
I have no idea what that is. Peacock?
No one does.
Heard about that.
There have been predictions that it won't last another couple of years even.
I mean, that's just a terrible name for a streaming service. Why would you
name it? Because no one's going to remember that thing.
Peacock.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Anyways. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Netflix. And starting off, we're going to talk about the TV shows, and then we'll transition to the movies. For TV shows, let's talk about something in both of our wheelhouses, comedies. As far as I'm still concerned, it's got plenty of the classics. You still got The Office. You still got Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You still got Community. Not much to complain about.
I've noticed that Netflix is attempting to have more representation of Canadian content. I've noticed that it's got Schitt's Creek.
Yep.
It has many locally produced shows. I think I've seen I've seen Blown Away, which is an unscripted series.
Oh, is that?
Yes. Fun fact, it was created by the very same company I'm interning at.
Oh wow. Look at you.
Wow. Right? I didn't create it. It was all me.
Yes.
So I've noted, and that's a Canadian show. You have Schitt's Creek, you have Blown Away, who knows how many
King's
more.
Convenience, another phenomenal Canadian
there you go.
Show. Filmed right on my home street, Dearborn.
Oh!
Yeah. You can literally drive by the set. It's pretty amazing. Talking about we just mentioned some of the stuff that's still here, but now let's get to some of the stuff that's gone. One of the hardest hits for me was their loss of Modern Family. I didn't think it could get worse than losing Friends. I was wrong. Personally, I like Modern Family more than Friends. Don't lynch me. Don't do it.
You know what? I don't blame you. Modern Family is a smarter non...
It's smart. That's the word.
It's great.
The writing is so smart. And I don't know. It never gets old, in my opinion.
It's like a family version of The Office. There's a lot of nuances. There's no laugh track. It's not a typical sitcom where you have to sit and you have to listen to the audience laugh and there's cues. No, you either got the joke or you didn't. And most of the times, it lands and it lands beautifully.
I remember when I was watching it when it first came out and I was younger, a lot of the jokes went over my head, which is, it just gives me much greater appreciation the more I watch it. But either way, it's gone. It's off Netflix.
And thankfully, we mentioned last episode as well that Family Guy has also departed, sadly.
And both of them are currently on Disney Plus. That's right.
Scandal.
Yep. And I'm not too upset, because I can watch them both on Disney Plus. But still, for those of you who don't have Disney Plus, this is a major loss. Yeah, like Ben. Like poor Ben over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you only have, you know, you're a starving college student or just don't have a lot of money, you can only buy one streaming service. It just sucks that it's not all on one, you know? And that's going to be a recurring theme for this episode. Just, it's no longer an all-in-one type deal. For different streaming services, you're going to get different things, and it's going to become a much tougher decision. Before, it was just Netflix. Everyone was just on Netflix, but now you got lots more options. Speaking of, let's talk about the different options that Netflix has added. For comedies, they added the show Superstore. I've watched a couple episodes myself. I've heard really good things, but I just couldn't really get into it. Have you seen that one, Ben?
Superstore? No, I just saw a brief trailer, and it just looked as ridiculous as I think it is.
And I think it could be ridiculous good, but it just doesn't take it as far as it should for me. Like, it doesn't live up to the whole Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Office. Like, you know, people working in a grocery store. Lots of people can relate to that. It's an interesting premise. It's got lots of room for comedy, and I feel like it doesn't use its full potential.
I worked at No Frills for 3 weeks before they fired me for getting confused with my schedule. So I know what it's like working at a grocery store.
There
I get
you
it.
Go. There you go.
A lot of things happen.
Other than that, like, there's not too many new comedies out there. Like,
I mean, The Good Place is on there. I haven't watched it. I'm not a fan, to be honest.
It's on my list, but
I bring it up because my parents have been watching it. God knows why. But supposedly, if you're someone who loves more, what's the word? Not gimmicky, but kind of saccharine, sweet kind of shows where they don't swear even.
Really? Doesn't swear at all in Good Place?
Yeah, they don't swear in it, and they purposefully avoid any kind of,
like, real topics? Like, controversial? No, is that what you're looking for?
No, they just avoid profanity, and that just kind of upsets me as someone
yeah,
who loves to
swear.
It
doesn't appeal to you, yeah.
It does not. It does not. Especially when it's so overt that they're trying to avoid it. They're like, frickin' frackin'! I'm like, okay, we get it. You're in heaven, and you're not allowed to swear. We got it.
Okay.
It's just like a running gag that gets old, you know?
Yeah,
so
I don't
watch it for that reason.
Along with The Good Place, there's also Shameless, which I see as more of a comedy, but I know it gets pretty dramatic at times. And then Space
I have that
Force.
On my list here, too.
Yeah. Have you seen Space Force? It's a new one. It's a new
I saw the
one.
First episode with Steve Carell, and it was underwhelming. I have nothing but negative reviews for that show.
See, I definitely agree with the word underwhelming. And that's how I feel looking at most of the new comedy shows from Netflix.
Is that troubling? Does that concern you?
It does. Especially
it does, right?
Since it's losing all of the classics. Like, it's already lost two big hitters. It's lost more than that. But, you know, like, if they keep picking away at the library, they're going to lose Parks and Rec. They're going to lose The Office. They're going to lose everything. And then I'm not sure if they'll have enough left.
Did they not already lose The Office?
No. No, they haven't lost The Office yet.
Oh, it's. I think it's coming. It's a. It's like an omen I have. I just know they're gonna get rid of it.
And like for the stuff that they did get rid of, it's okay, because they're replacing it with more good content. But what I'm seeing in the comedy section, at least for TV shows, is not promising.
I concur. They brought back Seinfeld, so you can tell they're getting a bit desperate for retaining some kind of audience somewhere.
Yeah. Seinfeld is a classic, though. Can't deny that.
I love Seinfeld.
See, there you go. As long as they can keep the classics, they don't really have to worry too much about their new stuff, but
they're going to have to eventually, because you know what? Yes. The inevitability of competition is you have people who don't want Netflix to thrive, NBC does not want Seinfeld on Netflix's platform when they could just put it onto Crave or Peacock or whichever streaming platform is owned by the original content creators. So
exactly.
I don't see this becoming a sustainable trend where they just try and retain oldies but goodies.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to last. It's not a good plan for the future. But I'm sure Netflix has something in the works. As I said, they're still working on making new funny shows. It's just, at least to me, they're not landing.
And not yet. Not yet. Think that's going to take some time to adjust and adapt.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even we just have to give them a better chance, because I have heard that Space Force does get better and it does have new episodes. But just based on initial impressions, I couldn't get into it.
Now, you wanted to talk about Love is Blind. I see Love is Blind 2, new episodes. Yes, so speaking of new content,
the reality drama? Oh my god, of course not! Is Love is Blind any good? The answer? No! It's garbage! It's writing at its worst! But people love it. Because it's stupid.
The hosts are so ridiculous. One of them, I don't know which one it is, but it's either Nick Lachey or his wife, but one of them is always like, and I'm obviously Vanessa Lachey or something. We'll see you next time. They always say, and I'm clearly, or I'm obviously. I'm like, we know you're obviously Vanessa Lachey. We get it.
Like,
you don't have to say it at the end of every episode.
It's so dumb. But at the same time, everyone's watching it. And I can see why. I will never enjoy that kind of content, that kind of reality programming. I treat it the same as The Bachelor. Honestly, it's worse than The Bachelor. It's just the premise is so dumb. I don't know who comes up with this, but either way, it's selling. So, episodes of that.
How do you pressure people into getting married when they maybe don't want to?
They can't even see each other, bro. Anyways, moving on from that to some different reality television. Oh, by the way,
Tiger King?
Yeah, sure.
Another pandemic favorite, much like Love is Blind. They both made it big during COVID.
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
In the first year of the pandemic.
Yeah. We might have already mentioned Tiger King in our last talk about Netflix, but it's important because it's just such a huge success. Like, it was so big.
Much like the Don't F with
Cats.
Oh,
yep, that show.
It inspired, in my viewpoint, I think it inspired Tiger King, if I'm not mistaken. Or at least those were two things that made it big around the same time.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure about any correlation there, but I can see it. I can totally see that.
Well, you have one about a murder mystery involving Cat being killed on the internet. That's one thing. And then you have Tiger King. Totally different, and yet it's this like evolving mystery. What happened to Carol Baskin's husband? Did he get fed by her to a cat? Like, it's all these questions.
Yep.
Yeah. Conspiracy theories.
Yep. Plenty of that. Oh yeah, all that fun stuff.
Do you think she did it? She seems too nice.
Oh, bloody! I have no idea. I have no right to give an opinion on that. I don't know.
All right.
Do you?
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, there you go. Some other reality shows I've been looking at is I've been watching a lot of cooking shows. Oh, and before I get into the cooking show, I'm going to talk about the glass-blowing show. Because have you seen that before?
Blown Away?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I brought up.
Yeah.
My family and I, we watched it.
Yep.
I think we finished everything. Really, really interesting. Blown Away is a series that was created by Marvel Media in conjunction with Netflix. So they also have basically streaming rights to that show. It's the only place that can show that series.
Yep,
Netflix. It's a fascinating show.
It's really cool. It's,
so you have artists.
It's so satisfying, to watch.
It's beautiful. You have artists creating amazing works of art in such short periods of time,
out of
just
glass.
By blowing glass.
Yep, it's amazing to see. It really is, and it's super satisfying.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the one with the foot and the gum? Did you see that one?
I mean, probably. I watched, almost every episode, but I can't
remember. That person won. Just a spoiler. That person won. It looked incredible.
Watch it for yourselves if you haven't. You'd be surprised at how entertaining it is.
Yeah, if you have no idea what the foot stepping on gum is, you'll have to just watch it.
Yep. All right, now back to the cooking shows. I've been watching a lot of them, and there's one that kind of stood out. It's a Netflix original. It's called The Final Table. It's a global cooking competition in which teams from all over the world compete for the top spot. And every week, the contestants are given a different country to create a meal for. So, for instance, when they were in UK, everyone had... There's a panel of judges, and the judges from the country choose a dish that best sums up the country. So for UK, it was a traditional English breakfast. And that gives the contestants lots of creativity. And the creativity can be their downfall, or it can be what gives them the top spot. It's really entertaining. It's really cool to see all the different countries, their foods. You get some famous critics. You get to see some famous chefs. It's a great show. Yeah, and the food looks so good for the most part. There was one person who served crickets, and I was like, ooh. But apparently the judges liked it, so there's that.
I think the first cooking reality series that I watched was The Chef's Table, and that was several years ago now, where they just chronicled famous chefs. And now how many shows do you have? You have the Big Family Cooking Showdown, you have Cooking with Paris Hilton, you have The Final Table, you have The Chef Show based on the movie.
That is Cooked, a great show.
You have Cooked with Cannabis, which I haven't seen yet. I gotta watch Cooked with Cannabis. And yeah, Jon Favreau, I mean, he's awesome.
He's the best. There's so Baking many Impossible. Out there. There's so many out there.
The Great Canadian Baking Show. I think another Marble one. Media production, by the way.
That was another really good one as well.
Yep. And Nadia's Time to Eat. She's amazing.
There's too many to talk about. From baking, chocolate, like actual meals and stuff. Like
you have cooking, you have baking, you have sauteing, you have
sometimes
poaching, you have everything.
Exactly. Let's move on a little bit to the more dramatic shows, because I feel like Netflix has been producing a lot of dramas. Most notably for me was You. Have you seen You? You know that show? You?
I just heard it. I know it's creepy. I know it's weird.
Yes and yes. This is their fourth or fifth season that they just released not too long ago. And I watched every single season, and it was just a nonstop thrill ride. I was always at the edge of my seat. The drama got so intense, and you know, it revolves around a lot of murders and stuff too, so like it's very interesting. But the new season lived up to the quality of the old seasons, which I'm very happy about. So
nice.
Yeah. Other than that, there's no way that we could revisit Netflix and not talk about Squid Game. Come on.
Oh, boy.
Come on, man. What an internet sensation. My goodness.
It really was. I only watched the first episode. I couldn't really get into it any further just because I know from the first episode just the savagery of it.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason.
You either watch the whole thing in like an hour, in like a day, or you just watched one episode and said, nope, not for me. But, it's really inspiring to hear about the story of the director, the creator of Squid Game. Sorry.
Yes, I heard about that
He pitched this concept to, like, at least, I think it was 10 times to so many different people. They all told him no, and they all told him, like, this story wouldn't sell. This story wouldn't work. And boy, howdy, did he prove them wrong.
Much like The Queen's Gambit.
Yep.
It was a huge gamble that paid off for Netflix and for the content creator.
Yep.
He is probably set for life.
Oh, he must be swimming in money. Man, everyone I know has watched it, loved it. Like, I don't think anybody who's watched it, like, all the way through has not liked it. I like, as far as I know. Like,
in terms of the money, it really does depend, because from what I heard in my internship is that Netflix, when they air or broadcast any kind of content, whether it's a show or a series, TV, whether it's a film, anything, they have exclusivity. They have exclusive rights over that content globally.
Yep.
So that means you cannot, therefore, put it on another streaming service.
That's
right.
You can't
show it in theaters or on TV.
Yeah.
Netflix owns it.
Yes.
They own your children. They own everything. So
that's how it works with Netflix originals.
If you're going to do that, you better be prepared to give away the entirety of that original idea. Like that. Yeah. That's it.
Netflix's now.
Yeah. And they have no choice. I could see why they're doing that. Because look what's happening
exactly.
to the old classics.
All the ones that they haven't, they're losing.
They want to ensure that their originals can't be poached either.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they're a streaming service, not a production company. So they need to make sure they have content. Making content is secondary. Keeping content is primary.
Hundo P.
Yeah.
Hundo P.
Talking about some different dramas I've been watching, unfortunately... Bridgerton, have you seen that?
Okay, I can't watch things that I can't pronounce. Okay, Bridgerton, no one wants to say the title, you know.
Bridgerton. No, I feel like it's got kind of a ring to it, and you said it right, Bridgerton. Have you seen the newest episode of Bridgerton? Well, yes, darling, yeah. I have.
It has issues that I don't think I can speak about in this series, so I'll let you take over that.
Well, leaving the issues aside, it was like when my girlfriend told me to watch it, I was just like, no. Hell no.
I'm not watching a period piece.
And then she forced me, and I'm like,
of course.
Oh, damn. This is surprisingly interesting.
Or as Chandler Bing would say, whoopah!
Whoopah!
No. You can't do anything!
We can't talk about Friends because it's not on Netflix. Shame.
It was.
I know. But yeah, Bridgerton, surprisingly entertaining. like, it's something I never would have expected myself to watch, but being forced into it, I wasn't kicking and screaming. It was okay. It was entertaining.
Would you have watched it again without your girlfriend, like, alone?
No. But, like, Bridgerton's one of those things, it's like, it's one of those stories that, like, once you've seen it once, you don't need to see it again. Like, that's how I feel. Like, for you,
right. Like,
I've seen it once. I know everything that happens. It doesn't have much rewatching value. Versus, like, comedies, which I feel like I can watch infinite amounts of times.
Of course. Well, it's like Schindler's List. Like, we've seen it the first time. We know what happens. We don't have to watch a devastating thing over and over again.
Exactly, yeah. Especially if it's a show that, like, it hurts you. You just can't, like, you know, you actually feel something. I don't want to feel that again, you know, I'm done. Once is enough. But that is the mark of a good show.
Yes, it is.
Moving on, one more of the drama / action / Game of Thrones type deal. We got The Witcher, Netflix exclusive. The Witcher is a show based on a video game, which is based on a novel, but either way, based on a video game. And this is really big. Because The Witcher got a hugely positive reception. People really like this show. It recently got another season. And this just kind of opens the door for video game adaptations to movies. Because there's plenty of video games out there that have amazing stories. There's been rumors that the video game Destiny is getting a Netflix TV show. Nothing's confirmed yet, especially with video game movies as well. Uncharted just came out to theaters. It'll probably come to Netflix, I'd assume, but we'll see. And it was quite the quality show, very entertaining and gripping. And I was really happy to see it. Moving on from that, I kind of want to talk about some animations. Not anime, animations. Have you heard of the series Arcane?
Why does it sound familiar?
Well, there you go. As long as it sounds familiar. Because Arcane is a animated TV series based on another video game, League of Legends.
Arcade?
No, Arcane. And the thing about Arcane and The Witcher is that, yes, they were based on video games, but the stories that they tell are for everyone. You don't have to have played the games to understand and love the TV series, which is why they got such big positive receptions, which is why people love them. It told a great story, it was well made, entertaining for everyone, not just people who have played the game, which is really great. I hope we get more of that. Last one on those lines is the Cuphead Show, also based on a video game. Very new. I think it came out in the last couple months, and I have not seen it yet. I just wanted to bring it up because more and
What's
more...
It called?
It's called the Cuphead Show. Have you heard of Cuphead?
How do you spell it?
C-U-P. Did you do that on purpose? Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, sadly, no.
Damn it, I thought you did that on purpose. Cup head.
Literally cup head?
Literally cup head. That's the name
why
of the
I
game.
Haven't seen it yet, because it has a stupid name. So what is it about?
It's about the video game. Essentially, it's a really difficult video game, but you play as Cuphead, who is just... It's like the animation style. It's very Disney. It's very old Mickey Mouse. Very retro cartoony. And you play as Cuphead and Mugman, just a character with a cup and a mug for a head. And the animation style is very visually pleasing, and at the same time, it's simple but complex. So I have not seen the show yet, but I've seen trailers, and it looks really good, and it looks funny. So I hope it is. I hope that this trend keeps up, where video games get turned into really quality shows. Yeah. Now that we've talked about the shows, let's transition to some movies. So I don't know about you, but it doesn't seem plenty of TV shows are leaving Netflix, but have you seen that many movies getting taken off Netflix?
No, they're adding them left, right, and center. Yeah. So many good films coming on here. You got new ones as well as classics. I'm just looking up my screen right now. I see Gandhi, Moneyball, The Graduate, Great Gatsby, 40-Year-Old Virgin,
Inception,
Silver Linings Playbook,
Ocean's Inception, 11, Forrest Gump,
Dundee, things
too
from
many.
Like the 70s and 80s.
Too it's many.
All here.
They have so many good old ones, so many good new ones, and a bunch of really good Netflix originals. Most recently, Red Notice. Did you see that?
Red Notice.
It's got The Rock, Ryan Reynolds, and most importantly, Gal Gadot, because she put up an amazing performance. They all did. It was so entertaining. Ugh. That was a great Netflix original that came out, and then one that we were talking about before, Don't Look Up.
Yes. Oh my god, what a controversial movie is for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it kind of broke the internet.
It was so bad that it was kind of good.
I think that's like the point, though. Like, I really don't know what that.
It was satirically just god awful, but it had all these stars.
Oh,
in it.
Yeah,
I couldn't help but just think, like, was this
Jennifer Lawrence, Timothy Chalamet, Leonardo DiCaprio,
Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill,
Ariana Grande?
Yeah, did we mention Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah, wait, I think I said that. But either way, just a star-studded cast and.
An ensemble.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, quite impressive. And if that says anything about the production power of Netflix, I think we're in store for a lot of good new movies. Really.
How much do you think it cost them to make that movie?
So many millions.
To pay the actors alone, I think probably cost them $300 million.
At least, if not more.
Holy mother. And, you know, I really just disliked the anchors in that movie the most. I really hated Cate Blanchett's and Tyler Perry's character. I just did not like them. They were so nonchalant about a meteorite hitting Earth and wiping out humanity. I was like, it feels like that's kind of what's happening in the real world in a lot of cases. And the, you know, it pisses you off when you see it happen in the movies and you think, could it happen in real life?
Ugh. Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, something to think about. Speaking of, I looked it up. $75 million USD was the budget. I am very shocked.
That's it?
Exactly. Like, it's not more? Really?
Man, they got a good deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Maybe it didn't take very long to film everything. I don't know.
I don't think it was a very technical movie because it was filmed in the mockumentary style, similar to The Office, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the $75 million was just to pay the actors. I think everyone else worked for free. Let's be honest.
Probably.
Ariana Grande probably took $5 million just for herself. And Leonardo probably took 20. Like, that's already a third of your budget.
She wasn't even in it that much.
Yeah, she was in there for like 2 seconds. I'm telling you, she made a good... She walked away with a few mil.
I am sure she did, definitely.
I didn't like her character either. She was
Her character was herself, bro. That's just Ariana Grande.
I hope she's not as mean in real life.
She's not. I'm sure she's not. I recently changed my profile picture to Ariana Grande. I don't know why, but every time I log into Netflix, I just laugh. It's just funny. I don't know why. But back to movies. Another recent release on Netflix was Scoob, the new animated Scooby-Doo movie. And I've heard very controversial opinions about it, and I simply won't watch it because they don't have the right voice actor for Shaggy, and that just ruins
really
it for me. No, they don't. And the worst part is the voice actor for Shaggy actually wanted to do the movie, but they decided to go with someone else, and therefore I lost interest.
I gotcha. I mean, I would also notice that, you know, if you're a fan of Scooby-Doo, and I loved the live-action films.
They were great. They were really good movies.
That was my childhood. Yeah. It was a weird, messed-up film that I watched probably a couple hundred times. I could tell you exactly what happened halfway through.
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
All right, other notable additions to Netflix, we have the sequel to The Hitman's Bodyguard, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, which was even more over the top. I'm just a fan of Ryan Reynolds' movie. This is another Ryan Reynolds movie, so.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson.
You know, there's all these movies that I've noticed are coming up on Netflix, and I'm like, oh, it's Julia Roberts, and it's some movie from, like, 2016, and I'm like, this never came out in theaters. Where did it come from?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of just, like, really obscure, somehow it's A-list, like, studded cast.
Exactly, like, you see this movie, and it's just like, this wasn't in theaters. Where did this come from? Like,
thank you. Yeah. I thought I was going crazy.
Oh, no, I definitely see that. I definitely agree.
Where did this obscure film come from? And it had all this entire ensemble cast, and it wasn't in theaters or it wasn't on television.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know about that, but Netflix has such a wide variety. One of the last ones I'm going to mention is The Gentlemen. You saw that, right?
I'm a motherfucking gentleman. No.
Wait, you didn't? Matthew McConaughey, Charlie Hunnam, however you pronounce that, and Hugh Grant. He's a weed mogul, you know, like he's like a underground gang pin.
What I wouldn't leader. Kill for that.
Dude, it's such a good movie.
And I think that's all the time we have for tonight, and let's wrap it up.
I'm Cole.
And I'm Ben.
And this has been
The Stream Team.
Thanks for listening.
Sayonara.